Viewmasters. It's the podcast that we do. Viewmasters. Talk about movies that we view. Viewmasters. My friend Eric and me, Joe. Viewmasters. Hey, let's start the show.
Hey, welcome to the Viewmasters, episode 355. Asteroid City. My name is Eric.
My name is Joe.
Hello, Joe.
Hello, Eric.
How is it going?
It is going.
Yep, sounds about right.
How goes it for you?
I am sleepy.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Did you fall asleep during the movie?
I did not sleep during this movie.
Okay, that's good.
Although, I don't know, there was like a 5-second scene toward the end where I felt like I was nodding off, and then I grabbed a bag of almonds and started munching.
Nice.
and that kept me awake.
Yes, you and Brad Pitt. Always got to be munching on something.
Yeah, well, I mean, this is not the only comparison to Brad Pitt I've ever gotten, so.
I can imagine.
I have also threatened the life of Angelina Jolie on an airplane.
Oh no! Why did you do that?
She had it coming.
Was it over a bag of almonds?
It was actually honey roasted peanuts.
Oh, okay, I understand.
They're delicious.
I would threaten someone over honey roasted peanuts as well. She had it coming. God damn it. Jokes. Jokes, everyone. Jokes.
Hey, these are the jokes.
Oh, boy.
Well, this was a movie.
I'm not sure I understood the play.
I don't think I understood anything.
So I know when I picked this last week, I thought that you might hate it.
Uh-huh.
Was I correct?
No.
Okay.
I don't know that I liked it.
Sure.
But also, because I don't know what I watched.
Yeah.
This is Wes Anderson's newest movie.
Right.
Came out last year, but apparently it was filmed like 2 years ago.
Oh, wow. Okay.
And I like Wes Anderson in theory.
Uh-huh.
I have seen, you know, definitely some of his earlier works, and really enjoyed most of them. But I've missed like the last handful or so.
Okay.
Did something happen to him?
You know, I think maybe it did. No, I have sort of a similar thing. Like Rushmore is one of my favorite movies.
And that is one that I actually don't like.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah. Oh,
interesting.
Oh, are they?
Yeah. Fuck yeah. That's hilarious. That's so funny. That's so fucking funny. But yeah, I love that one. I like the Royal Tenenbaums. Life Aquatic I rewatched recently and did not care for as much as I did when it first came out. And then I think it was Darjeeling Limited after that, and I didn't really care for that one at the time.
Yeah, that I think starts where I have just kind of fallen off.
Yeah, I think after that, Fantastic Mr. Fox, which sort of feels like, I know he's done a couple of his sort of stop motion animated movies. Fantastic Mr. Fox is cool. It's the only one of those I've seen.
I did not see that, but I did see the one about the Isle of Dogs.
Okay.
Yeah, I enjoyed that one.
Okay. And then, yeah, Grand Budapest Hotel, I feel like I've seen people say is his best movie, but I did not care for that at all.
Okay.
And that was, I think, maybe the last Wes Anderson movie that I watched before this one.
Okay. Yeah, I did not see Darjeeling Limited. And not, like, none of these movies that I didn't see was out of just like, yeah, fuck that guy. It was just more like, yeah, I want to see him. I just, you know, the opportunity never arose.
There's a lot of movies.
Yeah, there are. There's a lot of stuff.
You could say there's too much stuff.
There definitely is. And yeah, so I just kind of dropped off, and for whatever reason, I think Isle of Dogs just kind of came out in the era of MoviePass.
Oh yeah, okay.
So I was just seeing pretty much anything that mildly, you know, spoke to me, and I said, "Oh, sure, Wes Anderson. Got it."
What a wonderful time.
Yeah, it was. and I did enjoy that one. And then, yeah, was there Moonrise Kingdom somewhere in there, too?
Oh, I did see Moonrise Kingdom.
Okay.
I forgot about that one. That one I enjoyed for the most part. Oh,
okay. I was going to say, obviously left a great impression upon you.
I mean, I remember liking it when I watched it, but yeah, you're right. I guess it didn't leave a lasting impression on me.
And then French Dispatch, I believe, as well, right?
Yes, I have not seen that one.
Yeah, neither have I. But I, so you mentioned Life Aquatic, which I think, you know, I haven't seen it in years, but, you know, as of this moment, without having rewatched it, I would say it's probably my favorite of his.
Okay.
Probably followed by Tenenbaums and then Bottle Rocket.
Nice. Gotcha.
But yeah, I just, I know a lot of people love Rushmore, and I just never saw the appeal of it, but, you know, I know Life Aquatic kind of starts the whole obsession with, like, miniatures and...
Yeah.
And like weird sets and stuff. And I think it really works in that movie, at least to me. And it feels like, at least jumping ahead to this movie, like he has just gone full blown into that. And I don't know how it makes me feel.
It was interesting to see the juxtaposition of that, like the human actors with the sort of miniature stop motion or even puppets. I'm not sure. I feel like the Roadrunner may have been a puppet.
Yeah.
At a few different times. But yeah, it was definitely, it creates a very interesting effect for sure. And it has come a long way from Life Aquatic for sure.
Yeah. I mean, I liked the alien.
The alien was so cool. I loved the alien.
I wish there was more of the alien.
I wanted to hear the alien speak with Jeff Goldblum's voice. Because I saw, like, I came into this movie not really knowing anything about what it was.
Same.
And during the opening credits, I saw and Jeff Goldblum as the alien, and I was like, what the fuck? What are we doing here?
I could not read the credits. They went by real fast.
They did go real fast.
In fact, I think that's kind of my major hang-up with the movie for the most part, is everything is really fast.
Okay.
The dialogue is spoken really quickly and overlapping in a lot of places. The subtitles could not keep up, or I could not keep up with the subtitles, either or.
Yeah, Jeffrey Wright's character in particular just rattles stuff off.
Yeah,
so quickly. I did not watch with subtitles, but I could imagine that being a problem for the AI or whatever that's generating these subtitles.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. It just felt like it was a bit much. And it was in an already very I don't want to say complex, but a very confusing movie.
Yeah.
That didn't help me at all.
Yeah.
But I love the way it looks.
It looks spectacular.
And I liked most of the performances, I think. But yeah, it was just, it was very hard for me to follow. And, you know, like you, I didn't know pretty much anything about this, except I think I vaguely remember hearing about there was an alien sort of thing that happens.
Okay.
But I didn't know what it was or what to expect. I certainly did not expect what we got, and I loved what we got.
Yeah.
But, you know, I laughed quite a few times.
Yeah, it made me laugh a lot. I don't know. Did I know it was a comedy going in? I'm not sure. but yeah, it definitely, it was very, very funny.
I really liked his three daughters.
They were so creepy and fantastic. They were perfect little kids.
I think out of everyone in the movie, I liked them the best, performance wise and character wise.
I thought Steve Carell was excellent for what he was doing.
Yeah. Everyone is really doing a thing.
Yes.
And I don't know if that's just Wes Anderson, you know, telling them what to do. I don't know how controlling of a director he is, or if he just allows people to do whatever the hell.
Yeah.
But everybody is definitely making choices.
I liked Jason Schwartzman is doing a very specific thing, and I feel like he was sort of doing a Nicolas Cage thing, like Nicolas Cage as Spider-Man Noir, almost, like the cadence of the way that he speaks, and sort of the timbre of it, and he doesn't move his teeth when he's speaking in that character. It's confusing because we see Jason Schwartzman as the character in the play Asteroid City, but then also towards the end, we see him as whatever his actor name is.
Jones Hall.
Okay. And that is completely different. And like, I appreciated what he was doing in the play, but I appreciated it even more seeing him having sort of out of that character in a different character.
Yeah. It's weird because the movie is structured very oddly, where it starts out, it's a televised documentary about the making of this play, and then we see the play. But of course, it's not shot like a play. It is very much a movie.
Yeah.
But it is highly stylized. So it jumps back and forth between, you know, the play that we're watching and segments of this television program hosted by Bryan Cranston.
Of course.
As you would. And yeah, the first time we see, I think at this point we have met Augie, Jason Schwartzman's character in the play. And then it cuts to him in, I guess, reality, meeting the writer played by Edward Norton. And he's still doing a thing.
Yes.
During that scene. And then, yeah, at the very end, he sort of breaks both of those sort of mannerisms and becomes more of a human being. which I did like. I liked that a lot.
Yeah.
Him not understanding the play.
and feeling the need to get up in the middle of it to find out.
Yeah.
I mean, that almost felt like, because he goes and talks to Adrian Brody, who is the director of this play, and Adrian Brody's basically just like, just keep going.
Right.
Like, just do it.
Yeah.
And that almost felt like, we know that you as a viewer maybe are not following what's happening here, but just stick with it and see where it takes you.
Yeah. I don't know that it took me any place good after that.
Yeah, I'm not sure that it really took me anywhere either.
and I feel like there's definitely some sort of underlying theme here. You know, that I'm just not grasping.
Yeah, I'm thinking a lot right now about two scenes. I'm thinking about the part, I think, where they're at the communal shower in the quarantine asteroid city, and Scarlett Johansson is talking to the woman who's there, and then Bryan Cranston just sidles up and sort of looks around and is like, am I not in this? Oh, and then he walks away.
Right.
Which, what the fuck? But so I'm thinking about that, and I'm thinking about the scene between real world Jason Schwartzman and Margot Robbie on the balconies.
Yes.
And sort of just, throughout the movie, there's sort of the blending of what's real and what's fake and what's, you know, just like, where do you draw the line, or the lines are being blurred between the play and then reality. But then I feel like there's at least one part where, like, everyone looks out at the viewer. I don't know.
Yeah,
I'm trying, but I'm not sure that I get it yet.
There's a lot of staring down the lens. One scene in particular that I think really strikes me to what you're saying is when Liev Schreiber is talking to his kid who keeps asking people to dare him to do stuff.
Yeah.
And it just gets real existential. I feel like that was the one clear moment in the movie for me about what this movie is trying to say and do.
Yeah.
But even then, it's still just not... It's very vague otherwise.
I did love the joke sting at the end of that scene.
Yes, no, that was...
Like, you have this deep, heartfelt conversation between a father and a son, and also Steve Carell is there. Yeah. And then it turns out that he just wants someone to dare him to go hug a cactus. It's so stupid and so funny.
No, that did make me laugh. I like that scene. I like a lot of the scenes individually.
Yeah.
I just don't know how well it gels as a whole.
Yeah.
And you know, certainly I'm not, you know, I need to have everything explained to me and I need my hand held throughout all of this, but you know, a little bit helps.
Yeah, you know. Just like a nudge in the right direction. Maybe I should have read some stuff about this before we record it.
You know, I read the Wikipedia and all it did was really just sort of recap the plot,
right?
Separately, like the plot of the play and then the plot of the television show.
Oh, wow. That completely defeats the purpose of the movie, I feel like.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, and it didn't help me understand anything. I was like, well, I saw all this.
Right.
I was really hoping for, I probably could have looked harder instead of just falling asleep. But, was Wes Anderson, like, did he get divorced in the middle of this? You know, what happened, you know?
Much like the director of our play.
Right.
Who ended up just living on the set.
I was a little worried for you because Jason Schwartzman's character is a widower.
Sure.
So I was like, oh boy.
Oh boy, Joe's going to be on his bullshit again. His widower nonsense.
Yep. So tired of hearing about it.
Man, I get it. You and me both, brother.
But also, it's like, I don't know, did Wes Anderson lose, like, did his wife die? You know, what happened here?
Yeah.
That caused the creation of this movie? What is he trying to tell us?
Yeah.
But then, because I also suspected, like, with the creepy little girls, like, burying the ashes and performing a ritual, like, is this going to come into play?
Yeah.
But it really doesn't, except for the girls to just yell at Tom Hanks.
Right, which I'm here for.
Sure, yeah.
This movie, by the way, stars both of the stars of movies called Terminal. So that's delightful. Was Mike Myers there? Did I just not see him? He was in disguise. That's what it was.
He was one of the detectives. Actually, one of the detectives was Fisher Stevens.
Yeah, that was awesome.
Yeah.
Good Bob Balaban popping up.
Yep.
Big Bob Balaban fan. Bob Balafan, I believe, is what we call ourselves.
That's good. I'm glad you're out there.
Oh, now I'm continuing to think about what I was saying earlier, and I'm thinking about what you said about Jason Schwartzman doing a thing in the scene where he meets Edward Norton.
Yeah.
Which I feel like they establish, like Bryan Cranston establishes as sort of a reenactment of the actual scene. So it's actors portraying actors in a reenactment of a real thing.
Right. Because it does get revealed that Edward Norton's character is dead by the end.
Right.
So, I guess I hadn't put that together. Okay. All right. That makes a little more sense.
This shit's complicated. But I'm here for it.
Oh, yeah. And then there's the whole Scarlett Johansson of it all.
Yeah.
Just doing her thing.
I thought she was good. She's I enjoyed fine. Her. Yeah.
I don't know. Probably one of the better ScarJo performances I've seen in a while.
Yeah.
She's. I forget some movie that I've seen her in where just like her cigarette voice was just too overpowering.
Yeah, it's not as bad in this one.
No, yeah, it was all right, and there was the scene, I guess, in what we're calling the real world.
Sure, yeah.
Where she's on the train, and the kid is like reading her the letters from the director.
Yes.
And I thought there is some real subtle stuff that she's doing in that scene, which like, I feel like if I hadn't been paying attention, she would have just, you know, looked like a lump just sitting there.
Yeah.
Not reacting at all. But she is reacting, and it is very, very subtle. And I thought she was great in that moment.
Definitely. Yeah. Her active listening during that scene is pretty spectacular.
Yeah. You know, and her character Midge, I don't know. She's fine.
She is actually a pretty gifted comedian.
That's what they tell us.
Actually, I feel like just thinking about the comedic roles that I've seen Scarlett Johansson in, she is actually pretty funny. Like, I'm thinking specifically of Hail Caesar. I think she's very funny in that.
Yeah, I did think of that movie in the middle of watching this, mostly probably just because of time frame.
Yeah.
sort of the same period-ish. This movie even references blacklisting.
Yes.
Then we also get Bryan Cranston in there too from Trumbo.
How about that?
Yeah, it's all connected.
Whoa. Is this movie part of the movie's expanded universe? All movies are connected. And Madame Web is the one who connects them all. I don't know.
Oh, fuck. That means I have to go see that.
Friend, we're going to do it for the podcast when it's available for free.
I look forward to it.
I don't.
No, I really don't. So I don't want to see this movie at all. Please don't.
Okay. I guess we did watch Morbius at the very depth of my grief.
That is true. But not for the show.
Not for the show, just for the lols.
Yep. I mean, we can do that.
Yeah, that works.
We'll invite Jason back over and then you know.
That would actually be amazing. Be like, yeah, you watch all of the Sony Marvel movies with us now, right?
Oh, man, that means we got Kraven to look forward
yes.
to.
Yes. Oh, I'm craving the opportunity to watch that one.
Oh boy.
Oh, I think I really liked this. I really enjoyed watching it. It made me laugh a lot. I still don't know what it means or what Wes Anderson is trying to say with it.
Right.
Other than you can't wake up if you don't fall asleep.
Well, sure.
But other than that, I think he's made that point very clear.
He did, yeah. Trumpeted by the end credits song as well.
Yes.
By Jarvis Cocker. I mean, I guess I know what that means.
Yeah, I guess.
Yeah.
What do you think it means? Please tell me.
What is the phrase again?
Yeah. Eric, you can't wake up if you don't fall asleep.
Okay, all right. So maybe it means that we as a people have been asleep metaphorically as far as like what the rest of humanity means to us as a society and a culture, and we need to wake up to try to be better to our fellow man. You know, if we hadn't have fallen asleep in the first place, then we would be in a much better place.
Okay. That's interesting. Yeah, no, that's interesting. I guess I get hung up on the falling asleep part, and okay, like as a thing, like you have to fall asleep in order to wake up. So like you have to sort of like, I guess, falter before you can right yourself, or you know, you have to experience hard things or experience strange things before you can rise above them or truly live. I don't know.
I mean, those are all valid too. I mean, makes as much sense as anything else.
That's true. Why didn't Jeff Goldblum as the alien just tell us?
Because he just wanted that asteroid.
Like at the end, like he comes back and he's like, "Hey, everybody, I just wanted you all to know that this is what the movie's about."
Maybe it's a deleted scene.
Maybe.
There was no end credit scene, unfortunately. I didn't watch all the way through, so yeah.
Me too. Yeah, I was disappointed.
I mean, all the other cinematic movies are you know, tease the next one, you know?
It's true. Though I guess most MCU movies, this is the movie cinematic universe. Sure. They do all their teasers ahead before the movie starts.
Oh yeah, that's what trailers are.
Exactly. You get it.
Yeah. I've seen movies.
We have really cracked this, I think. I'm excited to watch, I don't know, what's Immaculate? I'm excited to watch that as the next movie in the MCU series.
Oh, just don't get too woke.
No? Is that a woke movie?
Or no, wait, because that's Sydney Sweeney, isn't it?
Yes. Is she a woke icon?
No, she's an anti-woke icon, for mostly her boobs.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah, you know, yeah, her boobs are the death of woke.
That's confusing. I'm going to need to do some reading on that. I was going to say research, but it would make it sound like I'm just going to look up pictures of her boobs.
I mean, you know, go ahead and do that too. They're spectacular.
Okay. I watched Euphoria. I've seen them.
Yeah. I don't know who she is. All of a sudden, she just sort of... I started seeing all this shit on social media about her boobs being the death of woke. And I was like, who the fuck is this?
That's interesting.
And then I found out she was in Madame Web.
Yes. Of course. And future Viewmaster's pick, Madame Web.
Right. And this movie called Immaculate, which I actually do kind of want to see.
It looks interesting. As a recovering Catholic, I'm into it.
I like horror movies in general.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I really want to watch that. Is it Late Night with the Devil?
Oh, yeah. I really want to see that as well.
The one with the guy whose name I don't remember. Polka Dot Man.
David Desmalchian.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome. Just read a pretty interesting interview with him. Interviewed by Trent Reznor.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, apparently they're friends.
That's unexpected.
Yeah. They bonded over a heroin.
Okay.
Yep. Both recovering heroin addicts.
Interesting.
Yeah.
I did not know that about either of them.
I think I may have known that about Trent Reznor. Or at least not surprised to learn it about Trent Reznor.
Sure.
But yeah, no, yeah, I do want to see that movie. Although I think there's some sort of AI controversy with that movie.
Ah, goddammit.
Yeah, yeah, but I'll still watch it.
You know where there's not any AI? Asteroid City.
That's right, even though A and I are both letters in that name.
Whoa. You just blew my friggin' mind.
Oh, yeah.
I didn't know this was an AI movie. I thought it was an AC movie.
Atlantic City?
Yes, Atlantic City. No, I was actually referring to Albert Clifford Slater from Saved by the Bell.
Oh, okay.
Did you know that AC Slater stands for Albert Clifford?
I did not.
I know that for some fucking reason. Because that's how fucked up my brain is. Oh, man.
Oh, boy. This movie's weird.
Yeah, it's weird, but I really enjoyed it.
I'm glad you did. I'm glad I watched it. I can say that.
Yeah.
I feel like maybe a second watch would help it, like help me figure it out, maybe. But yeah. Also, I kind of don't wanna.
I was gonna say I could see myself watching it again now that I sort of know what to expect and can think about it a little bit more critically.
Right. If you do and you get any answers, fill me in.
I will. This is my new Mulholland Drive, I think.
Okay. All right.
I cracked Mulholland Drive. Now I need to crack Asteroid City.
Okay. That's a goal.
Don't know what's going on with the tiny little old people in Mulholland Drive. Never mind. I'm still working on that one too.
All right. I totally forgot about that.
I just remembered it.
I feel like if I had, like, you know, a partner or somebody that I could subject this to, I would watch it again with them. But I don't. Like, I don't think I would watch it again on my own, though.
That's fair.
Yeah.
You should see if Jason will come over and watch it.
Can't get him to come over.
I know. That guy's impossible.
Hey, he really is.
I mean, we should let him know soon that we're going to have him over for Madam Web so that he can clear his schedule. I need to find out when Madam Web comes out on Blu-ray.
I mean, I'm sure it's pretty soon. I've already seen the Steelbook being advertised on Amazon, so.
Hell yeah. It'll go on my shelf right next to Morbius.
They are fairly alphabetical.
Exactly. Exactly. Oh boy. Eric, is anything making you happy this week?
Oh man. I guess two things, kind of.
Okay.
For the first time in 5 years, I'm now getting a day off.
Yay!
Rather than working 7 days a week straight, as I have for the last 5 years, with the exception of hospital stays.
Right. Which don't really feel like vacations.
They really aren't good vacations. I don't recommend them. Unfortunately, due to circumstances in my house, I don't like being alone in my house anymore.
Yeah.
And so yesterday I decided to this was my first day off. And I was trying to find something to do, so I went to the local animal shelter, and I just hung out with cats for a while.
That's awesome.
Had a bunch of kitties. And that was nice.
Yeah, that sounds wonderful.
Yeah, it was good. I'm you know, I'm not ready yet, but you know, it felt good to just meet some new friends.
Yeah.
But the other thing is that a friend of mine texted me, said that she'd spent all day Easter watching a show called The Toast of London, which I had heard of. It stars Matt Berry from What We Do in the Shadows.
Nice.
And I like that guy a lot.
He's great.
And the show is streaming currently on Roku, on the Roku channel.
Okay.
So I came home and I watched like 3 episodes of it, and it is ridiculously hilarious.
That's awesome. I have never heard of that. What's it about?
He is a disgraced actor who is getting divorced and is forced to live with... I can't tell if it's supposed to be his dad or just an actor friend, but they live in a really small apartment, and it's just sort of the trials and tribulations of him attempting to rebuild his career, despite the fact that everybody hates him.
Interesting.
And it is just, it's absurd and ridiculous, and actually... some things in this movie reminded me of that show a little bit.
Okay.
Particularly character names. Some of the names in the movie that they give to, like, you know, the acting crew. Like whatever Scarlett Johansson's real name was, et cetera, you know, when they're doing the sleep exercise and then throwing the spotlights on the different people.
Yeah,
they say some of their names, and they're just out there, and that's pretty much like all the names, of all the characters in Toast of London, such as the main character being Stephen Toast, and sure. His arch nemesis Ray Purchase. he does eventually he goes to a meeting to star in a laxative ad, and the executive that he meets is Melvin Anus.
Oh my God.
And so all the characters have like just names like that. And I found it ridiculously delightful.
That sounds awesome.
So I would highly recommend it. One bad thing is that the Roku channel does not have the pilot episode available to watch. So you just kind of have to pick up what the hell the story is from the first episode that they do have.
That's really strange.
Yeah. Because like it shows it available on the list, but when you click on it, it says that you can subscribe to BritBox to watch it. And
well,
I'm not subscribing to any more streaming services.
Yeah. Fuck off, British people.
Exactly.
We only subscribe to American streaming services.
Goddamn right. What about you, sir? What has made you slightly happy this past week?
Oh boy. I got a shipment of figures that I've been waiting for a very long time. About 2 years ago. About 2 years ago, I pre-ordered the Long Box Heroes action figures. They are five inch scale figures, sort of in the style of the old Superpowers figures. And they are of indie comics and public domain characters. And I'd gotten some of them previously. They had shipped the Rocketeer wave. I don't know, mid last year, I think. And then the rest of them arrived this past weekend. So it was like the Tick and Madman and the Goon and Cassie Hack from Hack Slash and a few others. And they're awesome. Like I haven't even opened them yet, and I love them already. Like they're so nice looking, and the packaging is great, and I can't wait to set them up with. I can't wait to recreate the Superman Madman Hullabaloo or a Batman Grendel crossover, or, you know, any number of ridiculous team ups that I can think
sure.
of. I'm so excited to finally have them in hand. Yeah, so that's probably the thing that has brought me the most happiness over the past week or so.
That is awesome. I saw you post it on Instagram, and I got very jealous. and they do look very cool. I got very excited about Barry.
Yeah.
Not the Bill Hader character.
I would love an action figure of him though.
Sure, that would be great too.
Is that who Barry is? So here's a terrible confession. I've never read any Tick comics.
Oh, okay.
I've only seen the cartoon and the Patrick Warburton show.
Okay. Barry was in an episode of the cartoon.
Oh, was he? Okay.
He was. Yeah. He is a superhero that went around as the Tick before the Tick showed up to the city. And
that's amazing.
When they all meet at the superhero nightclub, and people find out that he's going by the Tick, they're like, "Ooh, Barry's not gonna like that." and it turns out Barry does not.
That's awesome.
Because he's the Tick.
Naturally.
He only showed up in.
No, I was gonna say I don't remember that at all. Maybe I've never seen that one.
Yeah, it was only one episode of the cartoon. He did sort of recur throughout the comics when he was introduced. But the comic that he's introduced in has a very similar plot. And then in the comics, it's revealed that once the Tick defeated Barry, the Tick basically got to take control of like all of his stuff. And it's revealed that Barry is actually kind of a Bruce Wayne type character who had a mansion and a Tick cave. And he had all these Tick gadgets. So the Tick and Arthur basically get to just move in and do whatever they want with him.
Holy shit. That's spectacular.
It was pretty great.
I need to read some Tick comics.
I highly recommend the first 12.
Okay, and that's it?
Those are the only ones I've really read.
Okay.
Because those are the Ben Edlund originals.
Gotcha.
And then other people did it after that.
Okay.
Because he was slow. And then became a TV guy.
Yeah, that happens.
Yeah, I'm sure it probably pays him more.
I thought of the other thing that made me happy this past weekend. WonderCon was held in Anaheim, McFarlane Toys revealed a whole bunch of upcoming figures for the DC Multiverse series. Among them is a 7-inch action figure of Ambush Bug with Cheeks the Toy Wonder.
It's pretty spectacular.
That made me unbelievably happy.
I think I'm going to have to look into that one. Hopefully that one's not a fucking Build-A-Figure.
It didn't look like it was.
Yeah.
Cheeks might be, I don't know.
Oh, that would suck.
Every figure comes with a tiny little arm. You're like, what the hell is this? And you just throw it away thinking it's a random piece of plastic.
Sure. Hey, you collect a bunch of figures.
Yeah.
What do you do with all the extra hands and heads and shit?
Oh, boy. I have a lot of them just in Ziploc bags.
Okay.
Yeah, sort of just stowed away if I'm not using them at the moment.
All right. That's pretty much what I do, so. All right.
Yeah. Yeah, we're on the same page there. Because, yeah, otherwise, what the fuck do you do with those?
Right?
Oh. Do you have a movie in mind for next week, sir?
I do.
Okay.
I think I have like my next five or six movies planned out here.
Okay.
So this week, I think, or for next week, whatever, I'm going to pick, one of my, at least used to be anyway, I haven't seen it in a while, but it's one of my all time favorite movies.
Okay.
It is an Italian horror zombie movie, called, Cemetery Man.
Okay.
And, even though it's an Italian movie, it is entirely in English.
That's interesting.
And it starts, Rupert Evans.
Okay. Nice.
And we'll talk more about it, when we watch it.
That's awesome. I have never heard of that. I assume it is about a person who is bitten by a radioactive cemetery and, gains the proportionate strength of a grave.
Yeah. Wow.
I'm smart.
I don't know that you're smart. You're just well read.
That must be what it is.
You're like, I've seen stuff like this before.
there's nothing new under the sun.
Nope. Everything's just a remake of everything else.
Well, that sounds awesome. Cemetery Man.
Cemetery Man. It is available streaming on Shudder if you have it. Otherwise, it just recently came out on 4K and Blu-ray, so we're going to watch that because I like having the disc.
Physical media for life.
Yeah, unless for some reason you can't come over, and then I guess I'll let you borrow my Shudder password?
Fair enough.
All right.
Hopefully there's not, apocalyptic weather predicted.
Sure.
Next week as well, though I'm not sure that it ever really showed up here.
It really did not.
So that's that kind of sucks.
People were freaking the hell out. I had to eat Taco Bell on my own today.
Oh, I'm sorry. That's the worst, but also still really good.
Oh yeah, it was fine. Sign off.
All right, well, until next time, goodbye. Oh, is that the end?
Thank you for listening to The Viewmasters. You can subscribe to the show directly at our website, view.guttertrash.net, or on iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. Visit our website at view.guttertrash.net for information about our Twitter and Instagram. Once again, thank you for listening to The Viewmasters. We'll see you next time.